prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It's 16 September 2025. Welcome to this program. Boy, you're in for a treat tonight. We're going to talk to an ex-state trooper, Missouri State Trooper, actually. And he also served 24 years in the Criminal Investigation Bureau. And we're going to discuss to him what's happening with human trafficking. But don't y'all go away. We'll get back to that in a minute. Let's get very quickly into a couple announcements. Don't forget that we'll not be having any church this weekend because since Phil got his equipment updated with fiber lines, the equipment doesn't want to work. So we're going to have to postpone it until next week, Lord willing. And I'm sorry about that, but it does happen, unfortunately. So bear with us on that. Don't forget our specials for the month on the seminar, eight-hour seminar entitled Broken Era, A Cry for Deliverance. That and a book entitled The Rapture to Deceive the Elect, True or False. Both of those together are $15. That includes shipping and everything, folks. You just call 800-777-4403 and 304-846-4448 to order the specials for the month. Also, just got a sale from Dr. Jane McKinney, Professor McKinney, is offering his water filters that we've used now for years in our home, the latest technology water filters on two-stage gravity water filter that replaces anything, or if it will fit any old Berkey water filter, and one filter does the work of four Berkey filters. Now, I'm not knocking Berkey. Berkeys are great filters. Not knocking them at all. Jane just stepped up the process a little bit and made a little higher quality filter. So one filter will do 5,000 gallons of water. We'll do everything the Berkey water filter does. It takes four of them to do it. One is James's to do it. A four pack of filters that will do 20,000 gallons. You use one filter at a time. Regular 229 is going to sell for $199. That's quite a savings. The eight pack is regular $398. It's on sale for $378. But when you buy eight of the filters, you get 10. You get two for free. The 12 pack of filters, regular $597, on sale for $497. But you buy 12, you get 14. That includes free shipping in the lower 48. All you have to do to order them is call tomorrow and place your order at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Order the four-pack for $199, eight-pack for $378, and you get 10 instead of 8. Or the 12-pack for $497, you get 14 instead of 12. That is a great savings. Now, this sale is on through next Wednesday, which will be the 24th, believe it or not. The sale runs through the 24th. And if you write a check, as long as it's dated before the 24th, it'll be good. If you don't have her address, you can call the same phone numbers to get her address. You can write a check for 4, 10, or 14 fielders. That's right. So you call tomorrow, place your order. We'd love to help you with that. And believe me, each fielder does 5,000 gallon. So with a 8-pack, you get 10. That'll do 50,000 gallons of water. So remember that. That's a deal. And a 12-pack, of course, you'll get 14 of those, 60,000 gallons of water. So just be sure and call tomorrow and tell Faith what you want. Need her address, get it. We'll ship them out to you. Just do it before next Wednesday when the sale ends. Now, our guest tonight. I'm looking forward to talking to Dan Nyesh. As I said, Dan Nyesh was a Missouri State Trooper for 27 years. He served 24 years in the Criminal Investigation Bureau with a sergeant in the Human Trafficking Unit. He co-founded the Human Trafficking Training Center. And folks, that center gathers to train law enforcement, whether law enforcement or civilians, either one, on how to spot and investigate human trafficking. That is a much needed area. Now, with all this going on in our country in the last few months and the last few days, sometimes those people fall through the cracks. We can't let that happen. So let's go to our guest tonight, Mr. Dan Nyesh. Dan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, sir. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. And I got to ask you a question. I had a dear friend who passed away some years ago who was a Kansas City State Trooper, not Missouri. Forgive me. I was going to ask about Greg Evenson, but he was a Kansas City State Trooper. So let's move on beyond that. I'm sorry about that, but I want to ask that question. I had the wrong state. So tell the folks a little bit about Dan Nyesh. Just fill us in on what I may have missed.
No, you pretty much hit the needle on the head. I was a trooper in Missouri for 27 years, and when I left, when I retired from the state police, I started the Human Trafficking Training Center. We've been traveling around the country for the last 3.5 years, teaching law enforcement about human trafficking, how to identify it, how to investigate it, and that's what I do all the time. I'm actually out in Seattle this week teaching, so we go all over the place.
Oh, okay. So you actually travel, and you do that like every week, or how do you do it?
So I don't travel every single week, but I do travel a lot. I have some other instructors that work for us as well. But yes, we're teaching every week somewhere in America. Some weeks we have multiple trainings going on in different parts of America. Next week I'm in Newark, New Jersey. The week after that I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. And then the week after that, I think I'm up in Canada doing a training. And then I'm back down in Dallas. So, yeah, we stay very busy.
I'm glad to hear. I'm sorry to hear you have to do that, but I'm glad to hear that you're staying busy. That's a good thing that people are interested in law enforcement and even civilians interested in that. That's wonderful. So, I mean, you've been doing that how long now? 3.5 years?
3.5 years since I retired. Altogether, I've been doing human trafficking work for 15 to 17 years. So I've been doing it a little while, that's for sure.
Well, now, you worked in, of course, you worked with it somewhat, obviously, probably when you were a state trooper, and also in criminal investigation. I guess you probably got involved doing that when you were on duty, were you not?
Yeah, so I was a sergeant over the human trafficking unit, so I was responsible for the whole state as far as human trafficking went. And then prior to that, I was in a different assignment, but I also did some human trafficking work while I was in that assignment. That was before we actually had a full-time human trafficking unit. So, yeah, altogether, I've been doing it for quite a while. And, I mean, it's a really good thing because you're helping people, you're helping victims of trafficking, and then you're also able to hopefully arrest traffickers and put them in prison, which is where they need to be.
Well, now, obviously, there must be a great need for it. And I know that the common individual, including myself, really had no idea how rampant this business was. But obviously, it's pretty well saturated the whole country, has it not?
It has. No matter where you are, whether you're rural, whether you're urban, suburban, there's trafficking. I like to say that if you have people, you have trafficking. And trafficking is now the second largest criminal enterprise in the world behind drug trafficking. Human trafficking is, I should say. And at the current pace that we're at, some estimates are that within 20 years, human trafficking will actually surpass drug trafficking and be the largest criminal enterprise in the world.
Wow. Wow. And how do I word this? I know it's rampant, obviously, but is it in every community across the country? I mean, even small communities where people know each other, is that still part of it?
It is. So most people think that human trafficking is, you know, your kid's going to get kidnapped off the Target parking lot or something like that. But that's not what we see. Traffickers are not kidnapping people off of the Walmart parking lot or Target parking lot or wherever, or off out of your neighborhood. That's just not what we see. And we have something that we refer to as the Big Five. Those are the main groups that are doing most of the human trafficking in America. You know, so that's, you know, Chinese organized crime, Russian organized crime, street gangs, Mexican cartels. But unfortunately, the largest group in America that is responsible for the most trafficking is what we refer to as friends and family. And this is the husband, the boyfriend, the fiance, the mother, the father. That's about 30 to 40% of all trafficking in America is friends and family. And most people are completely unaware of that.
I guess I knew, but I hadn't really thought about that much. So you literally have the Chinese, Russian, and other foreign nations involved in this in our country.
Yeah, so the fastest of all the human trafficking right now, or sex trafficking, I should say, in America is the illicit massage parlor businesses. These are, you know, that you have in all these different towns across America. Most of your listeners probably know where there's one at. And that's almost exclusively Chinese organized crime. And it's increased 32% in the last 3 years, 46% in the last 8 years.
36% in the last 3 years?
32% in the last 3 years, 46% in the last 8 years.
That is hard to believe. It's increased.
Yeah, there's about 19,000 illicit massage businesses now across America. And in New York and California, there are actually more illicit massage businesses than there are Starbucks and McDonald's combined.
You say illicit. You mean they're in the back alley illegal businesses?
Yeah, so these are these businesses that you probably see driving through to your town or whatever. And they're like typically set up in strip malls a lot of times. And they'll advertise massage, but what is really going on in there is sex trafficking, and these Chinese girls are being sex trafficked in these quote-unquote massage businesses, which are really not legitimate massage businesses. They're just facades for human trafficking.
But they have a business license, and they're acting like a legitimate massage business.
In some states, or in some instances, yes, they are acting as though they're legitimate and will have a business license and have like an LLC set up or something like that. But in other instances, they're not. They don't even operate with a license. So it will vary from city to city, from state to state, depending on what the regulations are. But yes, they're setting up a fake business so to speak, a facade business, a shell business, to where they're pretending that they're doing massages, but in actuality they're engaging in prostitution, and these girls are forced to engage in this prostitution, and then Chinese organized crime is making all this money.
So, but you say some of them don't even have a license. They're not even supposed to exist, and they still do a business inside communities?
Correct. They do.
Really? I mean, how do you get by with that? I mean, don't the business administration or the law enforcement check in those places and ask them to see their credentials?
So it depends on the city, depends on the county, depends on the state. Some states are much harder on them than others. Some states are less hard on them. Law enforcement traditionally has been behind the eight ball when it comes to investigating these types of businesses because they're not trained in doing this. Law enforcement, one of the myths in the human trafficking world is that law enforcement understands what to do about human trafficking. And the answer to that is they don't. Only about 17% of law enforcement in America has any training whatsoever. And if you break that down between skills-based and awareness base. And awareness is great for the community, but not so good for law enforcement. Law enforcement needs skills. It's typically about 10% or less that have skills. And a lot of people think, well, that's just the small towns, right? That's the small town PDs, the small town sheriff's departments. But it's not. It's law enforcement across the board. And I'll give you some examples. And I'm only using these examples because these are ginormous agencies with tens of thousands of officers in some cases and multi-million dollar year budgets or $100 million year budgets. So the analogy that I like to use is I ask people all the time, how much training do you think the FBI has when it comes to human trafficking? Okay. The answer is zero, none, not one single minute. So if I'm an FBI agent and I graduate the Academy of Quantico, I have no training in human trafficking. So I get assigned to go out in the field. I don't have any training. And it's not just them. I can list 20 agencies that have no training that are ginormous agencies like, you know, Customs and Border Protection or the U.S. Marshals or DEA or ATF. All these federal agencies and have zero training in human trafficking. But it's not just federal agencies. It's big police agencies. It's big sheriff's departments. It's small agencies, small sheriff's departments, small police departments. It's state troopers. As a Missouri state trooper, I was never trained in human trafficking. So it's across the board. And people don't understand that law enforcement does not know what to do. Hence, that's where we come in.
Well, it's a huge business. Why is law enforcement not trained about that as they are drugs?
I think law enforcement administrators and elected officials and people like that, you know, are in charge of the purse strings and in charge of training. I think they don't typically understand it either. Everybody thinks, oh, that's just something that doesn't affect my community. Typically, I hear from sheriffs and police chiefs all the time of, oh, this is not in our community. We don't have that here. And they just don't understand what it looks like. People think, again, that it's like somebody kidnapped off the Target parking lot, which is not what it is and not what it looks like. So they don't really understand. Elected officials don't understand. So consequently, it's not as much as a priority as drugs that we can see much more easily, right? And everybody in America probably, or almost everybody in America, has said somebody in their family or friends or somebody that was affected by drugs. So we can see that much easier, and law enforcement is understands that much better. And, you know, budgets, you know, the war on drugs, if you look at just a federal budget, is like 20 times more than human trafficking. So the money flows to drugs more. We're trained in drugs more. We understand drugs more. We don't really understand trafficking.
But, you know, that really doesn't make sense with the facts that you give, and I'm sure the facts are available. Anybody wants them, it doesn't make much sense that the law enforcement will be that naive about these things. That just doesn't come together and compute, does it?
No, it really doesn't, and it puts law enforcement in a very tough position because we're not giving law enforcement the tools that they need to be effective. And so an example I'll just use, so last year at the Human Trafficking Training Center, we did 59 trainings in 28 states. We trained just shy of 7,000 police officers across America. And those 7,000 police officers left our training and found 587 trafficking victims. The quickest was 5 hours and 14 minutes, and the youngest was 11. So it happens really, really quickly once they're trained. And I tell people all the time, I said, it would be kind of like looking for a drunk driver. If I don't know what a drunk driver looks like driving down the road and I can't stop that car and walk up on that driver and see bloodshot, glassy eyes and smell the odor of intoxicants on their person and see, you know, slurred speech, and then I ask them to step out and they have, you know, decreased motor skills and they can't pass a standardized field sobriety test, well, how would I know how to arrest a drunk driver if I wasn't trained? And the answer to that is we do know how to do that because we're trained in that. If I didn't have that proper training, I wouldn't know what a drunk driver looks like driving down the road. So how do we expect law enforcement to understand human trafficking if we're not giving them the training? And it's our fault. It's all of our fault. It's society's fault that we're not saying, hey, we need to train the police on this stuff.
Well, you know, I got to say I'm shocked. I mean, I really am shocked that this isn't a bigger priority with the statistics telling us what you told us and shared with us. You would think this would be bigger than, or as big as drugs anyway, because it affects people directly that are enslaved into this situation. So I'm surprised that it's not more relevant in the teachings, that, or at least the statistics aren't brought out at a higher level. I'm really shocked about this. I'm also shocked at the fact that a business can open up in the community, a massage parlor, which most anybody has any sense realizes can lead to things. They can open up without a license, and no one questions that. That just doesn't make any sense to me at all. There's something lacking somewhere.
Yeah, it really, again, it really depends. I mean, some cities, some counties, some states are really on top of it, and other states and other cities and other counties are not. So it really depends on where you are. But yeah, there are definitely some that are enabled to just open up, and they don't have a license, and, you know, nobody really messes with them. Or if they do mess with them, they write them a ticket for not having a license, which is, you know, a couple $100 fine or something like that. But, you know, they're not shut down all the time, for sure.
But the trafficking goes on right inside that business, and no one seems to notice. I know you're going to tell us this. I want to know this, too. Law enforcement needs training. That's a given. And I'm shocked at how little of it there is. So on percentage-wise, how involved is law enforcement now cross country?
Well, it's getting better. I mean, we've trained about 18,000 police officers in the last 3 years. So, I mean, it's getting better. I mean, we're going to do some 70 to 75 trainings this year, probably another 9,000 police officers this year. And typically what happens is when we go to a place and we do a training, typically they want us to come back and do more and do more and do more and do more. So once we get there and once we teach them, then they realize pretty quickly that, okay, we don't know this. We need some training. We want to get our whole departments trained, or a whole bunch of departments trained, and then typically they just keep asking us to come back. So that's kind of standardized what we see. So once we do that, law enforcement tends to just pick up that and just run with it, because they realize, oh, okay, now I know how to do this. Now I know what it looks like, and then they can go do it. I'll give you an example. There's a trooper down in Texas that went to our training 2 years ago, and in the last 2 years, one trooper, and he's a uniform trooper. I mean, he's not a detective or anything like that. He's just a uniform trooper working in patrol. He has found 37 trafficking victims and arrested 11 traffickers all by himself, just working patrol in Texas.
My goodness. We got a lot more questions to even get started on this. But, again, I'm still shocked that there's no training on this. As big as it is, I'm really shocked this is an ignored situation. It's just hard to believe. So your job is really cut out for you. Are you the only organization that's doing this?
We're one of just a very few, and we do some things that really no one else does. So, you know, we're typically booked 6 to 9 months out all the time, which is, a good problem to have, I guess, that police want to learn and that police are asking for the training. And they want, they want the training they want our training because we produce results. So it's a good problem to have. And it's a positive that I look at and go, okay, we're making really good progress. We just need to keep the pedal to the metal and keep training law enforcement and keep doing these types of things.
And you're well received, like I would assume, in all places when you get finished that they are tickled you're there, right?
Typically, yes. Typically, we're pretty well received. I mean, some places a little bit more than others, but typically, overall, yeah, we're pretty well received. Law enforcement wants the training. I mean, no one's making them to go typically. Just like this week, I'll start training tomorrow for 2 days here in Seattle, and I think I have about 110 officers that are signed up here to go to our training for the next 2 days.
And how many works with you in organization? How many people do you have helping you?
There is 7 of us right now. There's about 5 or 6 different instructors, and then there's a couple people behind the scenes that are helping us do all the behind-the-scenes work that needs to happen. So, we stay really super busy, but it's an amazingly good group of people. We've tried to get the best of the best across America, and we're pretty happy about that.
Wow. So you have chapters. Do you try to hit chapters in every state, or just do you all do it by yourself, basically?
So I live in Missouri, of course, and we have different instructors that live in different parts of the state, and we all travel, and we pretty much go anywhere, and we can all work from anywhere. So it doesn't really matter where people live because, you know, we're almost always either flying on a plane or driving in a car to get wherever we need to go. So it doesn't really matter where the people live. I just want the best possible trainers in the country, and that's what we try to get.
Now, we could go with this on that direction for a long time, but we'll go on beyond that now. You train civilians also, right?
We do. We have an online training that civilians can sign up for. We just don't have the time to do a ton of civilian trainings like in person. We do a few throughout the year, and we're trying to do more. As we you know, get more people on board, we're trying to do more and more and more. But we also created an online training that people can sign up and just buy from our website online. It's really good, actually. It's not a stereotypical 15 or, you know, 20 minute little training. It's got four modules to it. They're each about 45 minutes. So it's about 3.5 hours. So it's a really good training. We basically tried to take the law enforcement training and take the law enforcement sensitive stuff out of it, and then tried to provide the general public with the best online training that they could get. That's what we tried to do.
Wow. So you have, I don't know how in the world you manage all this. I don't know how to keep up with all this. So when you train individuals, civilians, let's say, I got to ask his question. We're going to have to go break in a couple minutes, but what are some of the things you ask him to look for?
So we try to break it down. We talk about vulnerabilities. We talk about grooming. We talk about exploitation. And we try to make it as simple as we can. People ask me all the time, well, you know, what are some of the things we can look for? And if you go online and, you know, you're Googling human trafficking, they'll tell you to look for stuff like control and look, you know, people that don't have their ID or people that are not allowed to talk or whatever. And that's all great. But some of that could be kind of confusing and whatever. So what I tell people is the easiest thing to honestly look for is just look for prostitution. Some 90 to 94% of all prostitution in America is trafficking. So if you find prostitution, chances are pretty good that person is probably being trafficked. So just look for prostitution and report that to law enforcement.
Really? And I mean, I don't know. I wonder how, where you look for prostitution. You look at it in the bars, in the beer joints, or where you look for prostitution?
So in bigger cities, they have what they call blades or boulevards, which is typically just streets where there's open air prostitution. You know, so if you're in Figueroa in L.A. or you're on in Independence Avenue in Kansas City, or you know, different cities across America will have these streets where there's open-air prostitution.
Okay, hang on through the break. I got to stop it. I got to go to the break. Don't go away, please, folks. 717-300-1698. This might be a good idea to look into, my friends. It really might be. Maybe right in their own front door, we don't even know it. Don't y'all go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or a call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we're back here and talking to Dan Nyche. He's a co-founder of Human Trafficking Training Center. And we've talked about this before in the past years. I know that. Man, we've had really good guests on, but this has really opened my eyes to a lot of things that training civilians and telling people what to look for is something I'd be interested in. I really would. I'd like to know more about myself. I'm sure what's going on in our area, but I live in West Virginia. We got 1.5 million people in the whole state. We're not that big an area. But I just have to think and wonder about how much is happening in my little hometown. I'm just a regular man. I'm 77 years old. Dan, I'm not out in the public a lot. Well, I'm in public, but I'm not out looking for anything like this. How would I tell a prostitute if I saw one? What, I mean, how would I know she's prostitution? She's prostituting.
Well, if you're in a bigger city, you know, most of your listeners, if they live in a big city, are going to tell you, yes, I can go over to this particular area of town and I can find people, you know, working a particular street, standing on the corner. You know, they have a certain look to them. They maybe dress a certain way. And you just know that's what is taking place, right? In smaller communities, they have a tendency not to just be so open on the street. They may hang out at a convenience store parking lot. They may hang out at a casino. They may hang out at a truck stops. But with the internet, it makes it very easy for them to be much more, you know, hidden, because they can just go online. There's a whole host of escort sites that they can put ads at online, and then the sex buyers will just text them from those escort sites and set up dates with them and then meet them wherever they want to meet. So it's a little bit more hidden if they do it that way.
Uh-huh. Wow. So it really is kind of out and open then.
Depending on where you live, it can be very much open, yes.
I mean, that is something that we just don't think about. At least I don't. I guess I'm just not looking for it. But how do they approach you? How do they do their business online? I understand that. People are just out on the streets. So is it all done online, or is it actually done in the streets?
It depends. Some of the girls have a tendency to work online more. If it's in a city, like a bigger city, they'll have a tendency, to have like this street or whatever that they are looking at. So I'm scrolling right now. I'm not going to tell you where I'm scrolling at, but I'm scrolling Charleston, West Virginia right now, and I'm just looking at girl after girl after girl that is on an escort site.
Online escort site.
Correct. Yeah, I don't want to tell you what particular escort site I'm at, but these are ads for today, Tuesday, September 16th. There's 27, 28 girls I'm looking at right now in Charleston, West Virginia that are on just this one escort site.
That shouldn't surprise me, but it kind of does. So, but I mean, are they offering prostitution openly or just advertising for a date coming?
No, they're offering prostitution openly. The ads I'm looking at right now, most of the women are either partially nude or fully nude, and they're very open about what they're offering, how much it's going to cost, and what you will get for your money.
Wow. Wow. And how do people, and I don't want to advertise this, I don't want to tell people, but is it easy to find these sites?
Yes. They're not in the dark web. They're just open internet, clear internet. It's not complicated.
And if someone would go on there that wanted to expose this, what would they do? How would they go about that? What would they do? I mean, who do you report this to?
Well, you'd report it to your local law enforcement agency, right? And explain that, you know, all this is going on, whether you see it on a street or whether you see it online or whatever. And if law enforcement is trained properly, then law enforcement will know what to do and be able to handle it, right?
Well, why can't law enforcement go online and find themselves?
Well, they do all the time. In fact, that's part of what I teach law enforcement to do. That's what I'm doing here in Seattle the next 2 days. I will be teaching them how to do this stuff themselves.
So the girls, the women, or whoever, I guess probably men are involved too, aren't they?
It's about 90% female. But there is some men on there as well. There is some transgenders on there as well. But it's about 90% female.
So they know every time they search for, call him John, they could get busted.
They could get busted? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. If they know they could be busted.
Get arrested by law enforcement. If law enforcement is pretending to be like one of these girls. Law enforcement does that all the time. I'm looking at Morgantown right now, and I found about another, there's actually more in Morgantown than there is in Charleston. And I'm not super familiar with West Virginia, so forgive me, but there's probably about 40 girls I'm looking at right now in Morgantown.
And the girls could be arrested if they pick a man, there'd be law enforcement, or a female cop could go in there and arrest it. They're a client.
So what we typically teach is do not arrest the girls, because 90 to 94% of these girls are human trafficking victims. So we don't want to arrest them. We want to arrest the traffickers that are forcing these people to engage in prostitution. The idea that people want to engage in prostitution is really pretty much a fallacy. We just don't see that very often. Does it happen? Yes. But is it rare? Yes. Most of these people engaged in prostitution are being forced to do it. And what I would ask, you know, you or your listeners is, let me ask you this. How many of you out there when you were 13, 14, or 15 years old thought to themselves, you know, I think when I grow up, I want to be a prostitute. I want to have sex with 10 or 15 men a day. I want to get, you know, STIs and UTIs and have to avoid serial killers because serial killers prey on prostitutes. And I want to have all these sex buyers do horrible things to me and sexually assault me and do all these other horrible things to me. And I want to get addicted to drugs and alcohol because traffickers make them do that. You know, please God, let me be a prostitute someday when I grow up. And the answer to that question, I already know the answer, is nobody thinks that. Because nobody wants to do it.
They don't. I'm sure they don't. And we're going to get the calls in a minute, folks. Well, I promise to get to you in a second. Don't y'all go away. 717-300-1698. Get to you just a few minutes here. So I don't know how to even go, where to go from here. I'm shocked at how many you found in this state. I'm not naive about that, but it seems quite simple. You went online that quick and found 50 or 60 hookups, so to speak, that quickly by going online. And all you have to do is make a phone call or whatever, a request, and then go about the business. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, and I was just on one escort site. I mean, there's, you know, tons of escort sites. I was just on one, and I didn't even know you were in West Virginia prior to you telling me here a few minutes ago, so that's why I decided just to look it up. And I'm not even super familiar with West Virginia. I'm sure I could do the same thing with other cities in West Virginia. I just looked up Charleston and Morgantown because those were the first two places that came into my head. And
look up Lewisburg, Lewis, Lewisburg. Just curious. Now, folks, I promise, get your phone calls, man, I promise. Lewisburg. Just curious about that. That's a small, it's a nice little community. It's not real big. In Greenbrier County, West Virginia, a very pretty area.
West Virginia is pretty. I've been there a couple times, and it's very pretty. It kind of reminds me of where I'm from. I didn't find any for Lewisburg, but
oh, okay. I mean, that's good.
What's the nearest decent sized town to Lewisburg?
Well, we don't have a lot of decent sized towns anywhere. Beckley, West Virginia.
And how far is Beckley?
Oh, probably 45 minutes or so, I would guess.
Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Wow.
Yeah, there's about 17 girls there.
My goodness. Well, and the average age of these people, are they generally start as young teenagers or younger than teenagers?
Late teens or early 20s is pretty much the, you know, what we see. So it's pretty common to find those, you know. I mean, have we found younger girls? Of course, right? But, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, you're not surprised if you find that, but more than likely, that 18 to like late 20s is super common. That's the ones that we would see the most.
And most of them have been, I guess you say coerced into going into this by drugs or whatever.
By the traffickers. Yeah. So the traffickers use what we refer to as forced fraud and coercion, to basically force these people into prostitution. And typically, most of these persons that are trafficked, they have some kind of vulnerabilities that the trafficker will utilize to exploit them. Maybe that vulnerability is they grew up without parents, or they were in the foster care system, or runaways are super, super vulnerable to being trafficked. Or, you know, kids that get involved in drugs and alcohol are more vulnerable to being trafficked. They're, you know, kids that were abused, super vulnerable to being trafficked. So traffickers look for these vulnerabilities in people, whether they're juveniles or adults, and then they exploit those vulnerabilities, and then they use those vulnerabilities against these people to force them into criminal activity. Now, what we think about is prostitution, but there's lots of other stuff that the traffickers force them to do. So in the trafficking world, there's something called a trap. That's their quota for the day, right? And maybe I tell you, okay, you owe me $2,500 today. I don't care how you get it. You can go have sex with 10 or 15 men today and get me the money, or you can go use these stolen credit cards and go buy me stolen iPhones, or you can take these drugs and go transport it from point A to point B, or you can do shoplifting, or you can do whatever. I just want my $2,500 at the end of the day, you're going to get a beating, right? So it's lots of stuff that these traffickers make these victims do, not just prostitution.
Rick, one more quick question. We'll get to Esther in Washington State to start with. Who are the ones who normally entrap them, family members or strangers?
Typically, it's somebody that you know. It could be, everything from your mom or your dad or your husband or your fiance or your boyfriend to somebody that you meet, and then they befriend you to a whole host of different people. But typically, it's more likely that it's somebody you know somewhere. You may not know them super well, but you know them.
Wow. And how involved are officials, judges, clergy? How involved are they?
As far as trafficking?
Yes. I mean, no, as far as entrapping people and being involved in it.
In my 17 years, I just don't see that a lot. I see everybody involved as far as being a sex buyer. So trafficking is just a supply and demand, right? You have to have a demand, and then the traffickers bring the supply. So the demand is the sex buyers, right? So that could be anybody. That could be a teacher, a judge, a police officer, a doctor, a lawyer. It could be anybody. Anybody that's basically male is, they're the sex buyers. Research has been pretty consistent. About 10 to 15% of adult males are the demand for this. And the average person is typically married. So that's the demand. That can be anybody. It's not like you can look at someone and go, oh, yeah, he's got horns and a forked tail. He must be a sex buyer. That's not the case. They blend in. They look like everybody, right? Now, the traffickers typically are pretty hardcore criminals. So law enforcement is much easier for us to figure out who the traffickers are than the sex buyers, because the sex buyers blend in. They could be anybody.
Okay. Let's go to Esther in Washington State. Esther, come on in.
Pastor Butch, so
yes.
Informative, so good. I have three questions, and the questions are, the first one is, how do sexual traffickers get their victims across international borders, i.e. specifically Europe and or really specifically the Middle East? And number two, what training do you do for this? And number three, does law enforcement have reciprocity with international law enforcement? And I'll listen off air. Thank you so much.
Okay, we've got to hurry through that question very quickly. Go ahead.
So, yes, law enforcement works with international law enforcement all the time. In fact, in like 3 weeks, I'm going to be up in Canada doing a training for them. We go up there every year to train. I've trained in Pakistan. I've trained in Ukraine. I've trained in different parts of the world. So we do communicate and talk to one another in law enforcement. How do they get these victims into the United States, I think was your first question.
Right.
It's much harder now because the open border is secured. Typically what happened is most victims would just come through the southern border, but a lot of victims would just run right through our airports. For example, Chinese organized crime would bring victims right through our major airports, like in New York and California. And because of the asylum loopholes that were in place, which are gone now for the most part, they basically ask for asylum in the United States and say, hey, I'm from China. I'm a Christian. I can't practice my religion in China. And can I, I'm seeking asylum in the United States. And we would basically give them a court date 8 or 9 years later. They would never show up for it. And then those people are being trafficked in America. And but that loophole has been closed, too. So those are two. I think that answers most of your questions, but that's definitely what we see from the trafficking perspective.
Well, that's a couple of things, and I can give the Trump administration something doing good on that. Okay, let's go to Chance right here in West Virginia. Chance, come on in.
Yes, hello, Pastor Butch. I'm glad you asked about Williamsburg and nothing's going on there, because that's only 6 miles down the road from me. That's the county seat.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you remember, Pastor Butch, I told you a while back I heard on a talk show, no less, that Pence Springs.
I'm sorry, you kind of garbled out on that. What did you say again? Pence Springs what?
Pence Springs has a lot of this child trafficking going on.
Pence Springs, where the where the women's prison is. Okay, that's P-E-N-C-E.
No, that's Alderson.
Oh, it's Alderson. Excuse me. Okay, Pent Springs. Please, if you don't, type that in your computer real quickly there, please, Dan. Pent Springs.
P-E-N-C-E.
Right.
So there's nothing that came up on this first site that I checked, but that doesn't mean that it's not trafficking going on there, because typically most of these escort sites, like we saw a minute ago, does it mean that there's not any trafficking going on in Lewisburg? Well, no, that's not what that means. It just means that most of these escort sites are going to advertise in the larger cities. Plus, if your parents are trafficking you, they may not even have you on an escort site. So, that you may not be on that escort site at all. So simply because you're not finding anything on an escort site, that's not like a given that there's no trafficking taking place in your town.
I appreciate the work you're doing, sir, by the way, but I think we got to be completely honest about this, too. If there wasn't any help or assistance from somebody higher up, this would be nipped in the bud. I think we could arrest all the creepy Chesters, the molesters. We could lock up all the drug users, all these two-bit drug dealers. But if it's being allowed or assisted from somewhere on high, we're never going to solve this problem. We can make a dent, but we're never going to solve it.
Good point. Good point. Anything on that very quickly, Dan? Thanks for the call, Chance. Thank you. Anything on that?
Well, I, in my opinion, I think it's more of just both people that are making decisions just don't understand it any more than law enforcement understands it. And this is why it's really so important that we need to educate our elected officials, our senators, our congressmen, governors, AGs. I mean, I had two calls this week or last week with AGs from across the country that really want to do some really good stuff about human trafficking. But just like everybody else, I mean, if I was elected AG, how would I know about trafficking? And the answer is you wouldn't, right? You're looking for someone to explain it to you and to give you guidance on what to do, whether I'm President Trump or an AG or a governor or my county commissioner or my city mayor. They need to be educated just like everybody else needs to be educated.
Okay. Folks, got time for another call if you hurry. 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. So normally you don't see a girl, normally, standing in a street corner or in front of a bar somewhere. Or that's no longer done as a normal procedure. It's usually done online if possible.
Online more than is done on the street. We still see that stuff on the street, especially in the larger cities that have these blades, these boulevards, as they know them in the trafficking world. But yes, with the internet, we see much more of it online.
So an average person like myself, who I never looked one of those sites online, but they're easy to find. You say they're out in the open. And I don't want to give them some way to, I mean, people just come there and start to find them. But if they're that easy to find, obviously they're going to be hard to control because thousands of people will be using them. Is that a fact?
Well, they're hard to control because none of them are in the United States. Starting with back in the day, the federal government has closed most of them down. So they closed down Backpage. They've closed down several others. So now there's really no escort sites that are housed in America. They're all housed in Europe.
But they still advertise on local computers.
Yeah, they advertise on the internet. So here in the United States, we can access them, but their servers are in Europe. So the U.S. government cannot shut their servers down because they're not in the United States.
Oh my goodness. I never thought about that. That's almost impossible to control. But people locally can go in there, make a deal, whatever, and carry through the business transaction locally from people that are in Europe or China or wherever. They can make it work just fine. And there's no way to touch
it. The server is housed overseas, but the person that's putting the ad on might be in Beckley, West Virginia, and the guy that's trying to contact her is seeing her ad, and then he's just text messaging her through her phone, and then that Those two people are meeting in Beckley, West Virginia. But the actual server where the escort ad was placed might be in Europe. Well, it is in Europe or somewhere overseas, and they're just using that as a server. And they and these escort sites are set up in Europe specifically so the U.S. government does not shut them down like we did Backpage. Backpage was like the biggest escort site in all of America. And he was in Dallas, and the federal government shut it down and arrested them for running that escort site.
Wow. So the girls put their phone numbers up, and they contact them by cell phone. That is absolutely amazing. How can people contact you and find out more about what you do and how to get a hold of you?
You can find us at the Human Trafficking Training Center.com. That's probably the easiest way to find us. www.humantraffickingtrainingcenter.com. You can see all of our trainings there. You can reach out to us if you want to host a training or do you want to sponsor a training, because law enforcement a lot of times does not have money to even train their departments. So we're always looking for people to help us out with that. So you can find us all there on the Human Trafficking Training Center.com.
Well, if someone wants to help out, you will contact, if you get to come in the area and there's funded, you will contact local law enforcement and let them know you're going to be there.
So sometimes we get law enforcement that will call us and say, hey, we want to be trained, but we don't really have enough money to do it. We have a little bit of money, but we know it's going to cost more than what we have. And then we'll reach out to like local faith-based groups or local businesses sometimes to get them involved. And then I have kind of like a list of certain people. Like I have one particular person down in Texas. And whenever we have a Texas agency that wants some help with training, they can't afford it, I reach out to them, and then they will sometimes contribute money, or they'll contact other folks that'll contribute money. So, you know, we're all kind of in this together. It takes a whole community to make this work.
Well, you would think that with all this happening, like you said, it was second largest business in the world, that there would be more funding for this. But as you said, people are naive about it. But law enforcement should not be naive. You would think that we, from AG right on down, governor right on down, they should not be naive with this. And Dan, I want to thank you for what you're doing. We're about out of time. We've got about 30, 40 seconds left. But thank you so much for being out there and for what you're doing. And can we do this again sometime?
Absolutely. Anytime. Just give me a call. Let me know and be happy to do it again.
Well, thank you, Dan, for all your efforts. Anything I can do to help, if you need to put anything on the radio, is I can add or something, you call me, all right?
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Be safe.
God bless, Dan. Thank you. Folks, I know this stuff is hard to swallow, but it's there. It's real. And I learned a lot tonight about how this works. It makes you sick to know how it works. And obviously, it's everywhere, even little podunk West Virginia. So be wise. Check out what's going on. HumanTraffickingTrainingCenter.com. Check it out. HumanTraffickingTrainingCenter.com. By grace, God, we'll see you tomorrow night. Let's pray for each other, folks. And stand for the truth. God bless. Bye-bye.
Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.